Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury. Now, here's Justin.
Thank you, Brother Dearman. Welcome back to Reading the Word with me, Justin Reed. We are continuing, and if the Lord wills, we will finish a study here this afternoon. We are in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, and we are literally halfway through the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. This man is a high-ranking government official. He's a treasurer, so to speak. He's wealthy. He owns a copy of Isaiah, but he's a eunuch, and he has just traveled 1,500 miles to go and worship God. But according to Deuteronomy 23 and verse 1, eunuchs were not allowed into worship. They were considered half-breeds by many people. And so he goes all that way to be devout, but not get to do everything he wanted to do. So as he's coming back, God has orchestrated a plan where Philip is right at the right time at the right moment. And if you would like to hear any other studies that we've done, this is the third study in the 8th chapter of the book of Acts. They're all on my website. They're all free for you. TheJustinReedShow.com. That's TheJustinReedShow.com. Click on Programs there on the menu on the left and click on Reading the Word, and you can download any of them because this is program number 60. So let's begin. We finished on Acts chapter 8, verse 35 last time, where Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He's in Isaiah 53. He has just preached unto him the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, let's continue our story here. Acts chapter 8, verse 36. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Now, remember, he's a eunuch. I'm not going to get too medical here on you, but true castration would not allow this eunuch to be circumcised. He'd have nothing to circumcise. But although sometimes it was just the testicles, but friends of true eunuchs in this region, in this period, they had it off. So he's realizing that in order to be pleasing to God, he physically can't be circumcised. He can't become a proselyte. He can't be welcomed in the way that everybody else would. So he understood there is a need for a new covenant. He understands from reading in Isaiah where eunuchs will be welcomed in and then just having the gospel preached unto him, he realizes that there has to be a new covenant. And so when he comes to this certain body of water, he says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Now, there are three options that this brook could be. It could be water from a spring in one of the many pools in the area. It could be the Wadi El Hazi, which is just north of Gaza, or the one that Brother James W. McGarvey, or J.W. McGarvey, John William McGarvey, J.W. McGarvey advocates for, and I'm in line with that one as well. It could be the brook in the Valley of Elah. What is significant about that is about 1,000 years before, the brook in the Valley of Elah is where David chose 5 smooth stones to go and confront the giant Goliath. So he says, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Whenever I'm preaching this in a church building, I'm usually standing in front of a baptistry, and I almost just turn around and I motion and I say, "Friends, if you have not obeyed the gospel, see, here is water. What is hindering you from being baptized?" And then in verse 37, Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And I want you to notice the Ethiopian eunuch says the 10 most important words that you can ever say. "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Those 10 words in that order are more important than saying "I do" when you get married. They're more important than saying "I will make these payments on this new house or this new car," or "I will come work for you." Friends, that's the most important thing you can do. You have to say, or you have to believe, excuse me, and you have to let people know. But he's not just believing alone. Watch verse 38. "He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him." Here's what I like about the Ethiopian eunuch. It just told me twice in that verse they both went down into the water, and they both come and they'll come out of the water in verse 39. But that tells me that he wasn't sprinkled. That tells me that he didn't just have water squirted upon him. But in order for both Philip and the eunuch to go under the water, friends, they both have to go up under the water. And I used to wonder, well, why exactly did it say it like this? And then I recall an event that happened to me one year at Short Mountain Bible Camp. I was asked if I would immerse somebody into Christ, and if I would do the baptizing, if I would dunk them, just being honest here, and I said it would be an honor if I could. And while I was in the baptistry, somebody else wanted to be baptized, and they had made that confession. They believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And they asked me, they said, "Well, you're already wet, do you mind doing it?" And I said, "No." And this was a person that was smaller than me, but very wise. And so when I baptized him, of course, he went under, but he was so little, I wound up going almost all the way under as well. So I completely understand how this happened. But notice they both go into the water. Now, some people will say, and I've heard some people who claim to be very smart, religiously speaking, that he would have just taken his cantina of water and just poured over his head and say, "Boom, you have been baptized." But I don't know how two grown men can go down into a cantina of water and then come back up. But that's just me. I only have a master's degree and a preaching degree. I don't know all that much. Hey, would you stick around on the other side of this break? They will come out of the water, verse 39, and we will conclude our study of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word with Justin Reed is sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ. The building is located at 99 Sally Parton Road at the base of Short Mountain, 6 miles off 70 on Short Mountain Road on the left. Join us for Bible study Sunday at 10 a.m., worship at 11 a.m. and 5:30 p.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
You know, it has brought me great joy that you have decided to stick around here on the other side of this break. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch, they've both gone down into the water. The eunuch is being baptized for the remission of his sins. He has just confessed. We know he believes, he's repented, and he's heard the gospel. So he is now ready. Verse 39 of Acts chapter 8. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So since they both came out, or since they come out, that meant they went all the way down. But I want you to note one thing here, the last word of the verse. He went on his way rejoicing. That tells me, like that tells you, that there is joy in salvation. But here's something interesting. The Philip, after they come out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more. It reminds me of Elijah, because Elijah was taken away in 2 Kings 2 and verse 11. God moved him. It's almost as if Philip has fulfilled his mission here, his directive from God, although he didn't exactly know what it was when he started, but he still went. We see now God puts him in another place. But the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing. In my mind, he probably told everyone he knew and everyone he saw about the great events that had happened to him on his 1,500-mile, maybe a little less now since he's not in Jerusalem, but on his way back home. I can just imagine every town he'd stop in, he'd say, "You'd never guess what would happen." And he would go retell the whole story, and who knows what great events could have come out of that. And then we see verse 40, "But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities, so they came to Caesarea." Now, Azotus is one of the five Philistine cities, because in the Old Testament, it was known as Ashdod. You had Gath, Ashdod, Ascalon, there were five of them. He's 19 miles from Gaza. He is 60 miles from Caesarea. And the Bible says, till he came to Caesarea. So he preaches for 60 miles. And here's what's interesting. The next time that we read of Philip is about 20 years later, Acts 21 in verse 8. We see the next day, we were part of Paul's company, departed, and came to Caesarea. And we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven. That's a reference to the sixth chapter of the book of Acts. And we abode with him. So for the next 20 years, Philip's ministry, if you will, is there in Caesarea. He is no longer needed here in the story of the 8th chapter of Acts. So what are some applications we can make from this lesson? And then I want to share with you, before our time escapes, something that Brother George W. Dehoff theorized in his Bible handbook that I think will help us understand this story. But first, I have five applications, and the first one is so very true. It's that everyone needs the gospel. Friends, I need the gospel. You need the gospel. The people that you can't stand that live across the street from you, they need the gospel. That annoying coworker that just knows how to push all your buttons that mean whoever in your life, they need the gospel. That aunt or that uncle that said, "Don't talk to me about religion," they need the gospel. Number two, friends, we don't need to be afraid to ask for help when we're studying God's Word. Because if you remember when we began, or in last week's study, Philip walks up and he hears the eunuch reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the eunuch says, "How can I unless someone explain it to me?" He was not afraid to ask for help when studying God's Word. Number three, when evangelizing, one of the most effective ways is to start where they are at. And that's what Philip did, verse 35. He opened his mouth at the same scripture and preached Jesus Christ to him. You find me a Bible passage, a Bible study where somebody's reading, and give me just half a second, and I can make this point to Christ, because the whole Bible either points to, the Old Testament points to Christ, Old Testament points back to Christ. Number four, baptism comes after the confession, and it comes for the remission of sins. And number five, baptism involves going completely under the water. The original Greek word baptizo literally means to immerse, going all the way down. Now, from Brother George W. Dehoff, in his wonderful work, Bible Handbook, he has theorized the most effective way of evangelizing, and I find it interesting here in this to associate it with this passage. Let's say that you are the only Christian in an area of 100,000 people, and you have a Bible study today with one person, and you are like Philip, and you preach the gospel, and they are baptized that day for the remission of their sins. Now, tomorrow, you focus on somebody else, and they go out, and they share the good news of what has just happened to them, friends. And if both of you convert one soul each, the following day, you're going to have four people. And that day, all four of you go to somebody new. And if all four of you convert somebody, then the next day, you will have eight people. And if that next day you have eight people and you all go out and you preach the gospel to just one person apiece and you all convert one and you have 16 that day, then 32 the next day, then 64 the next day, then 128 the next day, then 256 the next day, then 512 the next day, then 1,024 the next day, then 2048 the next day. You see where this, and 4096, I mean, it just keeps going, friends. And so Brother Dehoff theorized that in just 1 month, if you started out as the only Christian in a group of 100,000, within 1 month, all 100,000 people would be converted at this rate. If each of you went out and converted one soul a day, and then you started with a new soul the next day. Friends, everybody needs the gospel. I don't care who you are. I don't care your background. I don't care what you've done in your life. You need the gospel. And it's one of my missions here on this program is to help teach and to preach. I hope this has been beneficial to you. Next week, if the Lord permits us to still be here at that time, we will begin a brand new study. If you want to hear any of these again in its entirety, this is program number 60, so if you want to hear any of the other 59, you can find them all for free on my website, thejustinreedshow.com, thejustinreedshow.com. Click on where it says programs there on the menu on the left, and then click on where it says reading the word. I do thank you for spending some of your afternoon with me. I hope our study has been very beneficial to you, and I do hope you can join us again next week. Oh, by the way, invite your friends, because this is free, and I would love to help reach as many people as I can. I need to slide on out of here now. It has been a joy. May the good Lord bless you. May He keep you. And thank you for listening to Reading the Word.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, sponsored by the Wood Church of Christ in Woodbury.